January 6th was certainly a moment of reckoning for the social media platforms.
Scrutinizing social media giants. It's Wednesday, January 5th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Chinese infrastructure investment in Kenya. Artificial intelligence targets poachers. Previewing CES 2022. It's all on today's VOA Asia. For U.S. social media companies, the violent mob storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th last year spurred action. They shut down then-President Donald Trump's accounts. One year later, are Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube any better prepared to face similar situations in the U.S. or in other countries? VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
One year after supporters of President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol, the former president is still not permitted to use Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, the digital stages where he directly spoke to millions of followers.
It's not a fair situation. Very, very bad for this country. Very bad for the world. If they can do it to me, they can do it to anyone.
January 6th was certainly a moment of reckoning for the social media platforms.
Trump was accused of using the platforms to stoke the riot. His suspension is a stark reminder of the power social media companies have over political leaders who run afoul of their rules. But despite the ban, after January 6th, social media companies came under intense fire from critics who said the suspension was too late, coming years after tolerating Trump's violations of the company's rules. For their part, technology companies have said they are constantly working to make their services safer. Twitter's former CEO said at a congressional hearing that Twitter did bear some responsibility for disseminating disinformation that led to January 6th, but pointed to the larger culture.
But you also have to take into consideration a broader ecosystem. It's not just about the technology platforms we use.
There have been some changes. Twitter enacted a 5-strike policy on misinformation about COVID-19. Facebook now applies its content moderation rules to politicians, a group it had shielded in the past. But the changes strike some experts as small.
Whether or not they've actually changed how they think about their products and their algorithms and the core business models, that I think is less so. That I think is they still continue to play a bit of whack-a-mole.
Looking out to elections this year, the potential remains that social media could lead to more unrest, observers say.
We really need to start planning now for all those things. And I haven't necessarily seen what I would like to see from the companies around what they're doing.
Some critics point to the company's way of making money, advertising, and how the firms have created algorithms that highlight extreme content that is more engaging.
A lot of these platforms have made tweaks around the edges, but at the end of the day, it's about the business model. These platforms are fundamentally designed to elevate, amplify, proliferate the most problematic things on the platform, things like election lies, racial violence.
Congressional
whistleblower leaks at Facebook showed how some of these problems are familiar to company executives. In the coming year, lawmakers could try to force the companies to make bigger changes to policing controversial content and being more transparent about what they are doing. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. First Cambodian-American mayor in U.S. takes office. China's economy could overtake U.S. economy by 2030. Suspected militant accused of beheadings killed in Indonesia. Indian police make first arrest in alleged online abuse of Muslim women. Pakistan vows to continue fencing Afghan border and downplays Taliban disruptive acts. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta has defended the country's China-backed infrastructure projects, which critics say are secretive, high cost, and put state assets at risk. Kenyatta made his comments at the site of the Nairobi Expressway toll road, which a Chinese company is building and will operate for 27 years. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The Kenyan government has come under criticism for its appetite for Chinese money to fund large-scale infrastructure projects worth billions. While inspecting a construction site for the 27-kilometer Nairobi Expressway, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta said the country benefits from the Chinese.
Our partnership with China is one that is mutually beneficial, that is based on win-win, and we are very grateful to the Chinese government, to the Chinese people, for the support that they continue to render, not only to our country, but to the rest of Africa.
Chinese companies are building the expressway at a cost of $575 million. The road is expected to be finished in March. Chinese companies also built Kenya's 3.6 billion standard gauge railway, which opened in 2017. The Kenyan government's critics say the most deals between the two countries remain secret and could cause harm to the Kenyan economy. Kenya has borrowed $50 billion to fund its infrastructure project in the past few years, and some fear the country's Mombasa port could be given to China to operate if the country defaults on its loan repayments. In 2015, when Angola failed to repay a loan to China, it used its oil to make the payment, leaving the country with little oil to export to other markets. James Shikwati is an economist based in Nairobi. He says if a country fails to repay its loan, China can take over the country's assets for some years.
All these developed countries have specific vehicles that guide how they finance a project. The most popularly known is the public-private partnership. And now the Chinese have that, but they seem to be big on build-operate-transfer approach. So it's not necessarily that they're taking away your port, but they have to operate it until it's at optimal level, then they let you take back your port. It's just a financing vehicle.
Like all African countries, Kenya has witnessed slow economic growth due to the COVID-19 pandemic, making it difficult to meet financial obligations. Harriet Muganda worked in Mombasa port. She lost her job when the government began sending all the ship containers to Nairobi for processing. She fears more jobs could disappear if China were to take over the running of the port. We fear a lot, she says. At the moment, the government is the one running the Mombasa port, and there's not enough work for us. She asks, what if China is the one running it? It means we won't have any employment here, she adds. Shikwati says African countries can pay off their loans and not lose national assets if their leaders exercise good governance and stick to a smart political and economic vision. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Happening now in Asia, in China, at least 14 people are dead and three others injured after a landslide at a construction site in the city of Baijiu, Guizhou province, state media said. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Rangers protecting threatened wildlife in Cambodia are using artificial intelligence to predict poachers' next moves. Matt Dibble reports.
At the Srepok Wildlife Preserve in Cambodia, rangers are in a constant battle against illegal hunting. Many species are threatened in the park. Poachers use wire snares, which can be extremely difficult to find, in the 4,000 square kilometer park. Since 2018, a team at Harvard University's Tambe Lab has been working with rangers at Srepok to develop a new tool called PAWS, which uses artificial intelligence to predict the poacher's behavior.
Our goal is to help rangers most strategically make best use of their limited number of resources and help them identify areas that are at high risk of poaching that they might not already be considering.
Team leader Lily Xu, speaking to VOA via Skype, said they used 5 years of ranger data about where snares and other evidence of poachers have been found. The team combined this with locations of water sources, roads, elevation, and other geographic and seasonal data. The PAWS system produced maps showing areas of highest risk for poaching in red. In a blind test, rangers used the maps as a guide in areas that had rarely been searched.
And what we found is that they found many more snares in the areas that we had designated to be high risk of poaching than in the medium risk locations. And we found almost no snares in the low risk areas, which showed that our predictive model could help rangers strategically identify which areas to prioritize.
Srep Oak rangers discovered up to 5 times more snares using the predictive maps. The technology is expected to become widely available when it is integrated into wildlife tracking software already in use at over 1,000 parks worldwide. Matt Dibble for VOA News.
Finally on VOA Asia, it's a chaotic time for the Consumer Electronics Show 2022, the world's largest technology event. Last-minute COVID-19-related cancellations have wreaked havoc on the organizers' plans to host exhibitors and welcome visitors in person in Las Vegas and online. But as VOA's Julie Tabo reports, the show will go on.
The pandemic may be raging and events canceled left and right, but the world's largest technology event will go on in a hybrid way, both in Las Vegas and online. More than 2,000 exhibitors from around the world will present their products and services at the Consumer Electronics Show. Karen Chupka, Executive Vice President of CES, spoke with VOA via Skype.
We're going to have areas focused specifically on food technology, on space technology, and then also on things like NFTs.
CES will, as usual, be hosting some of the biggest names in the tech industry.
Everybody from LG, Samsung, Sony, Canon.
There will also be startups and smaller companies present. On the space technology front, one company attending the show, called Zero-G, offers people an opportunity to experience weightlessness without having to go into orbit. A specially modified Boeing 727 flies at an altitude above 5.7 kilometers and in specific formations to create a weightless environment, allowing passengers to float, flip, and soar as if they were in space. As in years past, there will also be a strong presence by the automotive industry, with a focus this year on self-driving vehicles, including trucks.
We have BMW, we have Amazon, we have new companies like a company called Too Simple who is doing self-driving freight trucks.
The resurgence of COVID-19 means fewer in-person exhibitors. For example, about 120 companies will be coming from China, down from 700. That's due to the pandemic and quarantine periods, Chupka says. But the international presence, regardless, will be big, she says, with pre-registration numbers showing about 30% of exhibitors coming from overseas. She says some fast-growing areas and technology will play a bigger role in the show than in previous years.
Like you said, obviously digital health has been, you know, a tremendous growth area, especially in the last 2 years with the pandemic, with telemedicine and wearables and ways that, you know, people can better monitor themselves.
Another area is home technology, where companies like One Valet are making residential living smarter and safer. Rick Hardy Chiam is Vice President of Sales and Marketing at One Valet. He spoke with VOA via Skype.
We've seen a lot of progress in smart homes, but we haven't seen it in apartments and condos, and that's what we're really focused on. Now, since COVID, a lot of folks, they no longer want to touch any more door handles. So as a resident, you actually have the ability to use your phone as a digital key.
For CES's Karen Chupka, the show is about the global tech community connecting with the world.
For those who get to come in person, they'll have that opportunity to do it live face-to-face. And for those that can't come in person, that they'll still get that opportunity to see those new ideas and create those new relationships, but do it digitally.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
That's all for VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Bye now.